W22 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Days after a temporary truce fell apart, Israel's ground offensive is rolling into southern Gaza this morning. Israel says its forces have killed a Hamas commander who was responsible for carrying out raids during the October 7th attacks. Correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
The Israeli goal remains the same, to destroy Hamas. Ambulances rushed Palestinians to the hospital in southern Gaza as Israeli airstrikes continued there. Israel's military has called for more evacuations in southern Gaza as it widened its offensive.
A U.S. warship intervened when some commercial ships were attacked over the weekend. Correspondent David Martin from the Pentagon.
Missiles were fired at four commercial vessels in the Red Sea, and the American destroyer Carney shot down two drones headed in its direction. All the missiles and drones were fired from territory controlled by the Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen.
U.S. and Japanese officials say divers found five bodies today in the wreckage of a U.S. military aircraft that crashed off Yokoshima Island last week. A team of eight was involved in the accident, and one victim was recovered immediately after. Two remain missing. The hybrid Osprey plane has been involved in a number of crashes. Police say a neighbor walked into a home in southeast Dallas and opened fire. The results? Deadly. Here's CBS Texas Olivia Leach.
Police are still searching for that suspect. Now, as far as the victims, police say three adults died on scene and two other victims, a 15-year-old girl and a 1-year-old boy, were taken to a local hospital. Sadly, the 1-year-old later died from his injuries.
No word on the motive, but police believe it was an isolated incident and say there is no danger to the public. A couple of big airlines are hoping to merge. CBS's Matt Piper.
Alaska Air announced it's buying its Pacific rival, Hawaiian Airlines, for $1.9 billion. The combined company plans to keep the identities of both brands. Federal regulators still have to approve the deal, though they have resisted more airline consolidation out of worry it could lead to higher fares.
Beyonce ruled the weekend box office.
I know that all of my struggle and sacrifice is opening the door for the next.
I wanna house you, make it take my name.
Behind-the-scenes look at her Renaissance World Tour debuted with $21 million in ticket sales at North American theaters. Still pales in comparison to Taylor Swift's Eras Tour movie, which opened with almost $93 million. S&P futures down 15. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Democrats have elected Diane Hesselbein as their new minority leader. Hesselbein was elected to represent Middleton in the Senate last fall after a decade of serving in the Assembly. Earlier this week, Melissa Agard stepped down as minority leader after announcing her run for Dane County Executive. Hesselbein beat Senators Kelda Royce and Jeff Smith in a vote for minority leader on Friday. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on the state's legislative maps. Jeff Mandel of the liberal firm Law Forward says it's about voters choosing their lawmakers and not the other way around.
If we get back to the feedback mechanisms of democracy, that's the win. It's not about which party wins in 2024. I just think that's overly reductive.
Mandel spoke at a WISP politics gathering on Thursday. I'm Nate Wegehoe, Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers beat the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, the final. Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. Jordan Love with three touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 118 on what's been working for him.
Understanding where I need to go with the ball, but they've been doing a great job giving me time. And then receivers, obviously, just they're having awareness of when they need to be open. It's definitely something we as a team have just been, we've practiced.
Chiefs coach Andy Reid.
They used the clock. They were letting it run down to that 5 seconds and below, and they were getting first down.
The Packers play the Giants next on Monday night. NBA, the Bucks beat the Hawks 132-121. They take on the Knicks tomorrow night. Campaign on shooting a season-high 18 points.
Finally got one in front of the fans. I appreciate the support, man. But I'm going to keep bringing that energy. Y'all keep bringing that energy, man. And we're going to keep getting wins.
That's the Bucks campaign. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a high of 38 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Could see a little light rain or snow late this afternoon into this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy tonight, 28. Tomorrow, cloudy, 38 by Wednesday. Mostly cloudy with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
7:06 on this Monday morning, December 4th. Nice to have you along for Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Breitlow up here on Lake Wissota. Greg Bach is in Waukesha. Kristen Lyerly joining us from Green Bay. Selena Heller in Eau Claire. On this fourth day of December, which means it is World Wildlife Conservation Day, International Cheetah Day. I think we all get to enjoy free Cheetos for that. It is Global Fat Bike Day. Kristen, you're all over that one.
Oh, yeah. It's so slippery, though. I need some spikes.
Oh.
Do you have spikes for your fat bike?
Is that a thing?
Is that a thing?
Yeah. You can put spikes in your tire, but, I mean, how long is that going to take?
Yeah. Plus, I mean...
So I don't know.
Probably more useful when aerating a lawn in the springtime. Yeah.
You know,
get you to work that way.
Oh, it's like a garden.
One narrow row at a time. Getting it took all day. It's a National Socks Day, National Dice Day, and as mentioned earlier, National Cookie Day. So Selena joins us since the first time we mentioned that. Selena, your go-to holiday cookie, either to make it or gobble it up when you see it?
I'd probably go along with all you guys. I heard you talking. Chocolate chip, probably same.
All right.
Do you have a special sauce thing that you do with your chocolate chip cookies? Like Pat puts a little ground oatmeal in there.
Booze.
I do not do the oatmeal, but you're talking about the peanut butter blossoms too. And I have Emery does the unwrapping of the Hershey Kisses, so she's a good
hey, what's the ratio? One to one, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Probably about that.
Okay, all right.
There's a good portion that go in the mouth.
it's a helpful thing. It's how you pay for your labor, basically. You get, you know, this is not free labor. They want to earn their keep.
Mm-hmm. It's the process.
It's the beaters, you know.
Oh yeah.
That.
Now, do you love your kid? I mean, do you unplug the beater before you hand it over?
Jeez,
right. Not nice.
Okay, it got dark really fast here. Let's switch over to a story that Selena's working on for Up North News, and you're going to want to see this over at the website, upnorthnewswi.com, or look for the video that Selena put together on the website, and it's pertinent to Dr. Lyerly because it's something that we've talked about a lot in Wisconsin and rural America. The continuing shortage of physicians and healthcare workers is going to lead to stories that happen to the couple that you talked to. It was Danny and Matt, husband and wife. Tell us about their story, Selena.
Well, gosh, you know, these roadside birth stories are playing out across the state. It happened to Danny and Matt Gray. They live in Durand, and they had to go to the hospital in Eau Claire. The Menominee Birthing Center closed down the end of last year. So they could have had a closer place, but they're used to traveling to Eau Claire. So they went to the doctor in Eau Claire, no problem, until 11 o'clock one night. Danny was at home watching TV. They have a toddler. He was in bed, and Danny and Matt were just hanging out, relaxing. So you wouldn't think that would, she was only a, not ready for labor. So not thinking anything was happening, but she started having contractions, and then it kind of got a little iffy from there.
to put it mildly, now she was at 38 weeks. So, I mean, this wasn't completely unheard of, but I mean, as Ron Burgundy would say, that escalated quickly, as they were driving toward Eau Claire, and eventually it was like Danny knew she wasn't going to make it.
Right. So they called family members to come and be with the toddler, and that even took, it takes 25 minutes to get family members to their house because they live in a rural area. And so the family members, they saw them coming down the road and the driveway. So they got in the car and took off, and things just happened really quickly. Like you said, escalated quickly. And they were on the phone trying to call the midwife. And she said, okay, maybe you're going to have to go to Menominee instead and go to the ER. And they said, okay, so Danny made a decision. Yes, go to the ER. Well, that didn't happen either. So she just said, oh my gosh, you have to pull over. The baby's coming now. So they pulled over. Matt got to her and caught the baby. And she said it was 30 seconds, one swoop, and that was it. It was all over. So from the start of contractions to the birth, she looked in the car at the clock right then so she could know the time of birth. She said it was 12:30 a.m. So from the contractions started 11:30, birth at 12:30. So it happened very, very quickly.
Happens sometimes. Kristen, what's your longest labor?
Oh my gosh. Sometimes they can go on for a long, 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 long time.
This was
but
not
sometimes,
that.
Yeah. Sometimes they can be very short. Mm-hmm. And you know, it doesn't happen uncommonly that somebody just pulls up into the emergency department driveway and there is a woman with a baby in her pants.
Yeah. Yep.
Gosh. Well, and then this too, they had the baby. And then Matt tried to call 911 to get an ambulance to them, but they didn't have cell phone reception. So the dispatcher couldn't hear where they were. So they had to keep driving to meet an ambulance at the Stout football field. So they met the ambulance and then continued on to Menominee to the ER and get there. So there were a lot of things happening, a lot of issues going on with this, you know, no cell phone reception. And I mean, some couples are lucky enough to be on the phone at least with a dispatcher and help in delivery, but they didn't have that. So a lot of things going on.
Wow. Scary. But healthy baby, ultimately healthy baby, healthy mom.
Yes. Little baby Wyatt was born, and now he's just at home just fine with his little brother, and they're all a happy family.
And it makes for a nice story in this case with the happy ending. And as Selena notes in her story via the March Dimes, Danny is one of about 3% of women in Wisconsin who have no birthing hospital within a 30-minute drive. 15% of counties in the state are defined as maternity care deserts, where there's a lack of resources, and only 0.9% of maternity care providers practice in rural counties. Again, Kristen, something we've talked about a lot, to say this, it's a nice story when it comes out nicely, but they don't always come out that way, and I'm genuinely frightened at some of the bad outcomes that are going to ramp up if we continue this trend.
And we don't hear about those bad outcomes because those are the stories that are really hard to talk about, hard to tell, but they do happen. And when you are alone on the side of a road at 12:30 in the morning with no cell reception and the baby is literally like in your hands and you're wondering what to do now, what do you do?
Yeah.
And why do we put people in this situation when right. we know that we can do better?
And right. I called the fire chief in Menominee and I talked to him and he said, you know, when we were advised that the Mayo Clinic was shutting down for the delivery services because of no doctors, his quote to me was, we thought, oh boy. He said, oh boy. And they were worried and because they're not, you know, really prepared for either difficult deliveries or they're just not used to delivering all of the time. So he just was a little concerned, obviously.
And they're going to have to get used to that because, and again, for folks going, wait a minute, Mayo, Mayo closed their delivery in Menominee. Menominee. I mean, it's one thing when you heard that Mayo closed their deliveries up in Barron, a rural county. Okay, but Menominee. But Kristen, that is as you know from talking to folks at Mayo and Marshfield and every place else, the shortage of finding docs and nurses, midwives, other providers is that real? That Mayo couldn't find docs for Menominee.
I have a dear friend who actually was one of the remaining docs in Menominee when they decided to shut things down, and she was crushed. But, you know, the truth is Mayo, which is a big, successful health system, is really struggling to find staff for not just Western Wisconsin, but Southeastern Minnesota as well, which is a state that's a much friendlier state for maternity care. But some of the places down in the Southeastern part of the state, like Albert Lea, I mean, I constantly am seeing these jobs pop up. They are really Austin. They're really having a hard time finding docs. Partly because we've got a bottleneck in training. We have plenty of medical students, but we don't have enough residency positions. And that is all tied to federal funding to make sure that we've got plenty of doctors in the future. So there are so many things that we can do on a governmental level, on a policy level, that just aren't being addressed.
Something I'm sure we'll be continuing to discuss. This is an ongoing matter. But right now at 7:16, we're going to shift gears here and get the week started. Temperatures in the upper 20s, low 30s all across Wisconsin this morning. Let's find out the weatherology forecast to get the work week started with meteorologist Michael Cairo, who joins us now. Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Tell us more about what we're going to expect as we get started here this week.
Yeah, at least for the early part of your work week, pretty close to average temperature-wise, but for the latter part of your week, quite a bit of a warm-up by the time we get to Thursday and into your Friday as a warm frontal boundary looks to work up from the southwest. Indeed, by that time frame, talking 40s and even some 50s for the latter part of your week, but we'll stick closer to the 30s pretty much statewide for today. Areas like Rhinelander up to near Wausau, lower to middle 30s for highs by this afternoon, but expecting upper 30s close to that 40-degree mark for areas like Madison over to near Waukesha as well as Milwaukee. A week of Clipper-type system working in from the northwest then for tonight does bring a chance for just a coating to a half inch of some light snow activity across much of the state of Wisconsin for tonight, but not expecting much more in the way of accumulation than that. Overnight low temperatures dropping back into the 20s from about Wisconsin Rapids and points off to the north for tonight. We'll stay closer to the lower 30s for the southern half of the state for tonight, so watch out for some slick spots on those roadways late tonight into this time of year Tuesday morning as those temperatures hovering right around that freezing mark early on your Tuesday. But again, just a coating of some light snow expected for the day on Tuesday. Those afternoon high temperatures pretty comparable to today. Upper 30s across the southern half of the state with some lower to middle 30s across the northern half. Any lingering light snow showers or flurries wrapping up early in the day there for tomorrow. As high pressure builds in from the west on Wednesday, we'll see a good deal of sunshine pretty much statewide with a dry forecast as well. High temperatures in the mid-30s for Rhinelander down to near Wausau, but some lower 40s a possibility for La Crosse over to near Eau Claire as well as Richmond there into the day on the Thursday. Trending even warmer, highs in the upper 40s, possibly as high as that 50-degree mark even for Madison. And by the time we get to Friday, still much of the state in the 40s and 50s for highs. Into your upcoming weekend, could get a little bit more interesting as the low pressure system works up from the southwest, bringing a chance for a rain-snow mixture, especially there Saturday night into Sunday, but still quite a ways out in the forecast. So definitely check back later in the week as we hone that weekend forecast.
All right. We will look forward to that. Meteorologist Michael Cairo. Michael, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Let's pause here and come back. We'll find some more stories that Selena Heller has been working on with. Let's try that again. Stories that Selena Heller has been working on for us at Up North News Radio. I'm going to go take some coffee. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
All right, Kristen's into it.
I have a question.
Yes, Dr. Lyerly.
Did anybody else think that the song was called Barbara Ann? When I realized it was actually called Barbara Ann, that was a revelation to me.
No.
No, that would just be you.
I just found out right now.
You're today years old.
No, and it's not an original Beach Boys tune, but obviously Dennis Wilson, who was born this day, and the others, truly made it their own on this Monday morning that feels so like a Monday morning here. But I've got friends who are helping me get through it. Folks who might have missed it earlier, of course, part of the reason we're a little giddy is we stayed up late watching the Packers as they beat the Kansas City Chiefs 27-19. Did you like the hullabaloo? Oh, old man word. Write that one down, Greg.
I have a new thing when you do that. Old man word.
There we go. It should be followed, though. Ring a bell and then followed by like, yeah!
Get off my lawn!
But the whole thing, like, There were posts showing off of the Flight Radar app tracking Taylor Swift's plane. It's like, it has left Kansas City. It is bound for Green Bay. The plane has left. It's like
a Santa tracker.
Yes, it was exactly like that.
There were so many places in Green Bay that had fun memes, like the Village of Ashwaubenon had a picture of her walking away from Village Hall, and both the police and fire departments had funny little memes about her. It was a really big deal for Green Bay to have her, Tony Shalhoub, Simone Biles. It was a star-studded
cast
last night.
Charlie Behrens, I saw him in the crowd there too. Yeah, it was.
My friend Justin was there. What's up? Kind of a big deal.
So, and like I said, my favorite sign was it's a love story, because everybody's liking how Jordan Love is, he's finding his rhythm, as are all the guys. Christian Watson, remember how frustrating it was to watch him drop passes early on, first from Rodgers, then from Love, but his hands are much more sure. Had a couple of great catches before he went down. I really hope that's not a long-term hamstring thing that he went down with before.
He was right walking around, though, on the sidelines, and he looked healthy, so yep. I guess we'll see.
I hope it was like just a cramp or something like that. But, you mentioned the fireworks. The Packers scored touchdowns on three of their first four drives. Never trailed. I know we were all kind of wondering when they had that four-game losing streak, but they've now won four of the last five, and they have managed to creep back into playoff position here. So we just get to continue to cheer against the Vikings and try to get their spot.
Did you see
in their wild cards?
The rest of the schedule actually looks hopeful. Really, this was the toughest game. So yes, if they can just maintain what they're doing right now, there is hope.
There is. Badger football team, we learned yesterday, did get a New Year's Day bowl game, 11 a.m. Central Time. They'll be playing at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Yeah, Selena, here's
what a ReliaQuest is. ReliaQuest is when you and nine of your friends walk into another forest.
It's
nine friends now. It's a different forest, Pat. This is a sequel. Jeez. It's bigger. It's better.
Okay. All right. Anyway, LSU was the team I forgot to mention last hour. The Badgers will be taking on LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl. And it says here, the world's leading brands use ReliaQuest's gray matter platform for continuous visibility, automation, and measurement across their security programs. And I talked
these bowl names.
I talked last week about it. I was concerned that one of our vendors, you know, says that they're doing this for us, but then every time we need them to do some service, like, you know, Selena, we've talked about the technical issues we've had, and they're like, oh, well, we don't support that app. And then we should, well, how about this? Well, we don't support that app. Well, what do you do for what we pay you? And I'm kind of wondering if this is the ReliaQuest deal as well. So now that they're trashed.
Bad bowl names? I mean, yes. What is the worst bowl name that you can think of? Like, last year, the Gophers played in the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl, and that was bad to me.
What did I watched something? I watched something the other day. Bad Boy Mowers sponsors a lot.
Really?
Yeah, they sponsor a lot of sporting events. Yeah, and when you look up Bad Boy Mowers, it looks like a bunch of dudes who really love 90s rock. They all wear Affliction t-shirts. They're like, bruh, we're going to mow that lawn like bad boys.
Let's see. I found a list. Among the worst names are the Duke's Mayo Bowl, the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. These are actual bowls.
Gasparilla.
The Duluth Trading Cure Bowl. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. No.
Gross.
Cheez-It and Citrus?
The worst breakfast juice ever.
The Wasabi Fenway Bowl. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl,
like
the Tax Act Texas Bowl, the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl presented by Stifel,
and really?
The SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl. No, mine. I don't see mine on here. Remember, there was one called the Beef O'Brady Bowl or something like that.
No,
you don't remember that one.
I do not remember that one.
Oh yeah,
I think we should have one called the Pat Kreitlow Kreit Bowl.
The Kripe Bowl.
Kripe. Should be criping. Yeah.
Criminy. Cripes. Kripes Bowl.
I like it.
The Aw Shucks Darn Bowl. The Aw Shucks Darn Bowl.
Yeah, the Beef O'Brady Bowl, I don't think is still,
around
anymore, and I feel bad even saying it.
The Pat Kreitlow Cripes G. Willikers Bowl.
Presented by Charlie Behrens. Oh, Cripes. I could totally see
we just got to find old-timey sponsors too, like, you know, Johnson's Paint Company, now without lead.
Burma Shave.
Yeah.
And Chesterfield Cigarettes. Dr. Kristen Lilley is the one of the five doctors who does not endorse Chesterfield.
The Badgers will not be playing in the College Football National Championship. The Final Four teams there were Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama. So Michigan will face Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Washington will play Texas in the Sugar Bowl. And then the winners square off 1 week later in Houston on January 8th. And then the Bucks, they won over the weekend over Atlanta. They now host the New York Knicks tomorrow night in the in-season tournament quarterfinals. Feel the excitement, everybody.
Ooh.
The winner advances to the Final Four in Vegas later this week to play for the NBA Cup. Don't like the name of that. And the bulk of a prize pool that will total $18 million, which answers the question, how many millions of dollars do you have to offer to make 4 regular season games in November and December sound interesting?
Yeah.
The answer is $18 million. We'll get that done.
I'll do it.
Do you
I'll
feel
play.
Like people are getting this? Does this whole in-season tournament, is it just too new? Are people excited about it?
I've too soon to tell. Let's see if there's any buzz about the Vegas games next week.
Yeah.
But again, otherwise these are just 4 regular season games we'd be talking about otherwise. So we've got that. We got the Badgers looked really good taking out Marquette, which was then the number three team in the nation. They beat Marquette 75-64. So good on them. And coming up next, Motherhood for Good, getting some national attention. Kristen, your friends are Got a nice little national write-up for the work that they're continuing to do that you told me all about them first.
Because the work that they're doing is genuine and authentic and community building. They deserve this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt. It included a White House visit as well. So we'll talk to Kate and Aaron and Danielle from the group coming up in just a sec. Kristen, happy birthday again. Glad you're feeling good.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And Selena, thank you so much. Have a great day. And again, when we come back, it'll be Motherhood Monday here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Israel's ground offensive has now moved into every part of the Gaza Strip. The BBC's Yoland Nell.
A hospital in the southern city of Khan Yunis says it's been overwhelmed with casualties. A UN official in Gaza says Palestinians are running out of places to flee to.
A U.S. warship intervened when commercial ships were attacked by missiles and drones in the Red Sea over the weekend. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The Pentagon says while these attacks were launched by the Houthis, the group is fully enabled by Iran, and that the U.S. will consider all appropriate responses.
Police in Dallas are looking for a person who they say entered a neighbor's home and opened fire. CBS Texas, Olivia Leach.
Police tell us five people were shot inside a home. We're now learning four of those victims have died from their injuries, and police say the suspect is still on the run.
Among the victims, a one-year-old boy who died at the hospital. A teenaged girl is reported to be in stable condition. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The secretary of the host committee for the 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee is stepping down. Milwaukee Public Schools cut ties with Gerard Randall's Milwaukee Education Partnership 2 weeks ago. School board members say it isn't clear exactly what the nonprofit did with the school district's money. It also appears Randall lied about prominent people in Wisconsin serving on his leadership team. The city of Wausau is filing a lawsuit against 15 manufacturers of PFAS Forever chemicals. The lawsuit also names 61 major insurance companies that insured the manufacturers. Wausau has some of the worst PFAS contamination in the entire state, with the chemical found in all of the city's drinking water wells. Wausau officials say they hope to recoup some of the millions of dollars they've spent so far to provide safe drinking water and to try and clean up their water wells. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a high of 38 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Could see a little light rain or snow late this afternoon into this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy tonight, 28. Tomorrow, cloudy, 38 by Wednesday. Mostly cloudy with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. UK.
time for our Motherhood Monday segment. We've been doing these, of course, for about a year now, since Motherhood for Good put themselves together. They were a different name group before that, but still with the ultimate aim of keeping moms up to date on what's happening in politics, because frankly, none of us are too busy to not know what is happening in that realm. And now Motherhood for Good picking up a little national attention as well. So we are so thrilled for our last live visit with them in 2023 to be able to talk to Danielle Scampini, Lynn Aaron Phillips, and Kate Duffy. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So in the 19th is the name of the news site, and I think they maybe were, I don't know which came first, the Tammy Baldwin article or the Motherhood for Good article, but either way, it was a wonderful 1-2 punch about what y'all have been doing, and there was a White House visit involved in recent activities as well. So Kate, we'll start with you as far as, you know, what generated the article in the 19th?
So that actually, they came like around the same time. I think the article about Tammy was posted a little bit earlier, but we had a meet and greet with our group and Senator Baldwin back in August, I think. And there was a reporter there from the 19th. Her name is Amanda Becker. And she was there to do, you know, she was following Senator Baldwin around the state a little bit and watching her meet with different groups and kind of writing an article about that and her reelection campaign. But it was really cool as she sat and watched our event and our conversations with Senator Baldwin and the concerns that moms and women were having around the state and what we wanted to talk to the senator about in regards to her priorities and messaging. I think she saw something else there, and she came up to us afterwards and said, would you guys mind if I asked you a couple more questions? I have been wondering where the normal mothers are in this country, because I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of what we hear about is moms for liberty type characters. Mm-hmm. And so she stayed after, and we chatted with her for about an hour about everything that we're doing and all the different networks kind of all over the country that are doing similar things. And she saw a story there and wrote about it. And it was really exciting to see in print and kind of just get some national attention on the work that we're doing and other groups are doing as well. So that was really special.
The headline on the article was, is 2024 the year of the Instagram moms? And I'm sure that's getting passed around a lot, Danielle, to the point where, I mean, do you now say to people, you know, I don't know if you know this, but we're kind of a big deal.
I mean, it is really exciting. Like when we saw that, you know, when we were talking to her, it felt like, wow, if this, you know, if she really does make this into something, like this could be, you know, really cool to get some attention from people that we don't, you know, that we wouldn't necessarily reach, especially because we are so ingrained in Wisconsin. And then, you know, as it always, I'm sure, happens with journalism, is we kind of didn't hear anything for a while. So and we saw the article about Senator Baldwin come out, and we're like, okay, well, we'll see. And then it came out, and it was just, I don't know, it was just so exciting. And it just made us feel like, man, this really, you know, as much as we have felt how much it matters, it's like reading it in print, you're like, yeah, this really is a big deal. And it's really exciting.
So Aaron, talk about the feeling of empowerment that moms are providing for each other in this current political climate.
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about there being sort of two really important aspects, sort of separate aspects to engaging with this work of sort of tapping in and keying into politics at all levels, right? Your most local, your smallest elections, all the way up to the largest federal and everything in between, is you not only are informing yourself and therefore really empowering yourself to know more and therefore do more and engage more, but you're also meeting this community. You're sort of automatically becoming part of this broader community of like-minded folks. And it is so empowering to know that you aren't alone, right? That's so much of what we're all sort of even looking for in our candidates, right? Is tell me that I'm not alone in thinking what I'm thinking, in feeling what I'm feeling, and in wanting what I'm wanting for myself, my kids, my community. And so to have this work sort of naturally sort of create those kinds of community opportunities and connections, it's so empowering. And then to see that validated in this kind of national recognition that is really building, it's just so exciting, you know. And I think it's like one more sort of ladder rung of that, wow, we're really not alone in this. And it's so validating and so empowering.
Kate, can you talk about more? The article talks about the backstory and how your inspiration by somebody named Emily, is it Amick?
Emily Amick.
That says here, Emily Amick, a lawyer and former staffer to Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. What's the connection?
Yeah, so she has been doing this work for a while. She has been a lawyer for about 2 decades, used to work in the Senate for Chuck Schumer. Now she actually represents international terrorism victims. And she runs, you know, while she's not doing like all these other very important things in her career, she runs an account called Emily in Your Phone, which breaks down political happenings at an accessible level. And she always gives action items, which may sound familiar. Our framework is like kind of modeled after that, but at more of a local level. And obviously, because she's a lawyer and she's been so ingrained in DC and everything happening there, she really has a good pulse on everything that's going on and really understands like what priorities there should be and which different things calls are really going to help drive change for. And she was initially, I came across her account when I was, you know, formally politically disengaged somewhat. And after, you know, I became a parent and then Uvalde happened and Roe got overturned and I just found myself needing to do something much more than voting. I came across her account. I think that was shared by another just lifestyle influencer where she was giving scripts and action items and things to do. And I remember her saying something like, you know, if you guys want change, you have to do something frequently, consistently over time. And that's what started me initially in starting Moms for Mandela, which has turned into Motherhood for Good. And I've become very close with her since then. She's been a wonderful mentor to me and was able to spend quite a bit of time with her in DC this past week as well. And she has really been the forefront of pushing Instagram as a really valuable platform in reaching moms and women aged like 25 to 45 and the whole strategy behind that platform specifically that I think not a lot of people are talking about. And we're just really happy it's kind of getting noticed now as evident in them inviting us to speak at the DNC Women's Leadership Forum and spending time with Chairman Jamie Harrison and just having the party leadership start to recognize how important the work on that platform is that we're doing and reaching that demographic who oftentimes is a little bit harder to reach. They're very busy and not in the traditional spaces as much.
But they do when they can. They look at social media and they're going to look at the video that you put up being at the White House holiday reception. And it was lovely, you know, the decorations and, you know, people who clearly care about what they do gathering there and knowing that any one of those videos could bring on another follower, bring in another interested member. Danielle, I was with a different group on Friday. It was more education related. And for a time during this day-long discussion, there was this focus of, oh, you know, things are moving too slowly and the world is still, you know, not moving at the pace we would like. And somebody kind of had to remind them that there's now a majority on the state Supreme Court in no short order because of the social media posts and things that moms like you do to reach mm-hmm. other voters. So, you know, you kind of have to remember that progress sometimes just doesn't come in great big steps. You take the little ones that occasionally lead to a big one.
Definitely. And, you know, that is something that we are reminding ourselves and reminding our communities is that, you know, change does not happen at lightning speed. It's kind of like being a parent. You know, you could also just be sitting there, like my son, for example. He's 18 months old now and is like just starting to walk. And some babies are walking at 10 months, and, you know, and you just have to remind yourself that it is baby steps. You know, it's all progress in one, you know, it's all working towards that goal, and you have to stick with it and not get frustrated and not like, what's wrong? Why isn't this happening? You know, because it's a lot of work, but once we get there, it's going to really make a big difference. Look at Michigan. Like, you know, that is not something that they probably would have expected a decade ago. But look at the progress that they've made in Michigan. And I think that, you know, we could be seeing similar progress if we just keep, you know, keep at it and just be patient, but also don't lose focus.
The article notes that a lot of this began when you hosted a meetup at your mother's house. And
yes.
I'm just kind of curious, after all this time later and attention, how's mom feeling about all this?
Oh my gosh, she was so bummed she couldn't be there. It was so funny. We were joking when we were there that it kind of felt like we were in high school throwing a party when my mom was out of town. But, you know, with the senator. But yeah, she thought it was really cool. My sister's photography business has like the picture that we have of Tammy, like their pictures in the background, and they're like, oh my gosh, look at like the focus that our picture is getting. So and yeah, so she was really bummed. She's like, I'd love to be here for another one. Can we host another one? I was like, yes, I'm sure we definitely can. But yeah, it was just really cool and just fun that we were able to, you know, be in her space.
Well, Erin, let's try to look forward now. I mean, we're going to spend a lot of time, of course, over the holiday season looking back, but 2024, we're going to flip that calendar page before we know it. What are some of the things that you and the group would like to accomplish as you get 2024 going?
Well, obviously 2024 is going to bring a pretty big election. So for sure, our attention is going to focus, you know, quickly approaching new year to the presidential election. But again, a huge priority of ours is always promoting engagement with every election that's coming underneath that, right? So yes, 2024 is a presidential election year, but we're going to be really, really starting to put out, you know, content and information and engagement about what else is going to be on people's ballots. Looking to school boards, looking to assembly seats, looking to everything that's going to be up on the ballot, and really trying to help educate and engage and just get people to make this narrative part of their daily lives. And of course, we're going to be trying to also have there be some in-person connections that can happen across the state. You know, we have an in-person meetup coming up this Wednesday in the Milwaukee area. So you can find out more information about that on our Instagram. But yeah, I mean, you know, the ball's already rolling, like the snowball is already getting really, really big. And the new year isn't even here yet.
And Kate, I mean, 2024, the presidential is just that's like the cherry on top. You know, mm-hmm. there's actually four elections, because you got February, you got April, you got August, you got November.
Oh my gosh.
School boards in there. We're going to talk on Wednesday about how many school referenda are already on the ballot for February and April. So, I mean, there's not a moment to spare.
There's a lot going on, and there's a lot we're going to be working really hard to break down for our community and for our audience. And it can seem overwhelming, but just like, we encourage people to take it one step at a time. Just, I always say this, but find some messengers that really speak to you and speak your language, and spend a few minutes a day just making sure you're informed and know what's going on, so that when these elections get closer, it's not like a huge tidal wave. You feel ready, you feel informed, you feel like you can talk to your friends and make sure they know what's going on and that you can help. So that's all we ever want to do, is make political news and election things like that accessible, approachable, and make sure you're ready, because the more you know, the less stressed you feel. I firmly believe that.
It is. It's what, when we started Up North News, one of our opening kind of mission statements was, we want people to feel empowered in the voting booth, not intimidated. And it's so easy to feel intimidated, all the choices, all the chatter that's out there. And the three of you and all your cohorts are just amazing at helping achieve that mission as well. Kate Duffy, Erin Phillips, Danielle Lynn, thank you again. Happy holidays. We'll talk live again. Oh, let's see, January 8th, I think it'll be.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So you guys take care.
Have
a wonderful holiday season. All right.
Thanks. Have a good one,
Pat. Thank you, Pat.
Yep. Terry Bell's up next with three things you need to know right after this. You're Up North. Nobody missed.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
93.5, The Tap.
Here's Terry Bell, news director of the Civic Media Radio Network, and number one Civic Media Radio Network booster of the Badger women's volleyball team, who made easy work of the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
As expected. Yeah, hang on here. My goodness.
Did you motion. Just...
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. It's one extreme or the other.
Is that one of those rooms where the lights go off if you sit still for too long? It's got a motion detector thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, or you've made God mad.
For folks watching on the video feed, we saw him go dark, and then the lights came back on. He waved his hand or something, and the flash was like, well, it was downright nuclear. So we're glad that that's...
Pat, it's produced nuclear... Thank you.
Nuclear? Sorry. I messed that up. So anyways, Badger Volleyball, they play now Penn State. They host Penn State on Thursday.
Yes, and that should be the first real test of the postseason. There are no slackers in the Sweet 16. Yeah, every game is going to get tougher from here on out. And, the prize for beating Penn State Thursday night, assuming they do that, would be a matchup with either Purdue or Oregon, which would be really, really tough. But the team is healthy. They seem to be peaking at the right time. It's a fun atmosphere at the Fieldhouse.
Very much so. So, again, look for that come Thursday. Now, let's turn our attention to three things you need to know in the news, and one that we have not covered yet, so I'm glad we get to start with some fresh information here. And that includes millions of dollars from the federal government for infrastructure updates at Wisconsin's many airports.
That's right. $38 million from the federal bipartisan infrastructure law. That money has been rolling out gradually over the past several months or so. This round going specifically to airports, and this is for fixing up the infrastructure, the kinds of things that cause delays, jeopardize safety, and really impacts the economy, because air travel is so vital to our economy. So Mitchell Airport's getting $8.5 million on down the line, but the airports all over are getting this money, and that should make air travel safer and more efficient.
And I want to add my usual editorial comment on this, because between the bipartisan infrastructure law and some of the other things that are making investments in the country, there are going to be people saying, oh my gosh, that is so much spending. And my point of view on this is, oh, it's about time somebody did these things. There are so many projects that are overdue in this country. And half of the time we look at something and go, isn't anybody going to take this seriously? Isn't anybody going to update this thing? And eventually it's happening, whether it's, lead pipes that carry water or, broadband. We just heard the story earlier this hour about the couple, in rural Eau Claire, and having to deliver a baby on the side of the road, and they could not talk to the ambulance because of bad cell phone reception. And so these investments in infrastructure of all types are only a net positive in the end. And the same goes for, there are many airports, not just Mitchell. There's a lot of cool airports around Wisconsin that can use those upgrades.
And they're broadening their services all the time, so they're becoming more and more vital.
Yep. We have election news. We were just talking about 2024, but this isn't about 2024. Somebody's already planning for 2025.
Wow. Yeah. We're not even done with 2023 yet. And the last Wisconsin Supreme Court election was just a few months ago. But yes, late last week, former Republican Attorney General and current Waukesha County Circuit Judge Brad Schimmel announced that he's getting in the race for 2025. That's Ann Walsh Bradley's seat, which she says she plans to defend. So that sets up, there are some other people who have talked about getting in the race, and the field might get bigger. But for now, it's Schimmel versus Bradley. And it should be interesting from the standpoint of what we had back in April, Kelly versus Protasiewicz, was Protasiewicz in particular, she didn't really have a record to run on. She was only a circuit judge by that point. But what will be interesting about 2025 is the Supreme Court may have ruled on some of these key decisions that are expected to be coming up. And, you know, voters will have to decide whether Bradley's decisions have been what they want to see have happen. Polling would suggest that much of it is. There's some resistance to the idea of redistricting anytime soon. But in general, these things coming up are things, especially reproductive rights, are things that are quite popular with voters. So we'll see how that plays out.
And here's the thing, in terms of a record, yes, by that time, Justice Bradley will have amassed a lengthy record. Brad Schimmel already has a record as Attorney General. So yeah, there will definitely be, there's fodder all around for you know, just those two candidates alone. And you're right. I am quite confident that there will be more Republicans, that Brad Schimmel, you know, having been defeated by Josh Call in 2018, he's not going to get a pass from every Republican. I think he's hoping that that announcement means Republicans will clear the decks for him, or conservatives, because it's officially a nonpartisan race. But, you know, with this much time, I would fully expect there's going to be some other interest in this.
Oh, yes. I fully expect that, too.
Third story to talk about is, oh, my, here's something we haven't talked about in forever. Bird flu in Barron County.
Yeah, I bring it up because it's the third case in 2 weeks in West Central Wisconsin. So, you know, one thing happening is a fluke. Three things happening is a trend. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping an eye close on that because poultry farming is such an important part of the economy in that part of Wisconsin. And, you know, we're having thousands of birds having to be euthanized because this bird flu keeps cropping up. I haven't been able to find any indication as to why or whether this is more widespread throughout the country, but it certainly is a problem that's been coming up a lot lately in your part of the woods, Pat.
Yeah, very much so. And I actually had to go remind myself I was going to mention Jerome. It hasn't been Jerome turkey in forever. It's Jenny-O now that's up in that area, but it is a very big turkey producing area. Mm. And so we have those three things, but just a quick honorable mention, if anybody missed it late last week, that a new challenge to Act 10 has been filed. But that one's going to take a year to go through the courts. So we got a lot of work to do on that one yet. So
for sure. Yep. But it's the latest legal challenge to Act 10. This one particularly will pick apart whether or not the exemptions for police and firefighter unions are constitutional or not, as opposed to most all other public employees.
Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. Terry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
Have a great day. Greg Bach, father of Maybell, first of his name. Thank you so much. You guys,
thanks,
have a good
Pat.
Day out there. Good start to your Monday. Hans Breitenmoser will be with me tomorrow. We'll talk about the upcoming Wisconsin Farmers Union annual meeting and talking about corporate monopoly power and its impact on Wisconsin farms. Again, you can follow us all day long over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletter there. Pick up some t-shirts, tote bags, and get all of our latest news. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down. If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.